You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Commander Tom Garcia, and you're listening to the American Hour. And, of course, my lovely co-host, Paula Zahn Osman, is available today, and she's with us. How are you doing today, Paula?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tom?
Excellent. And, of course, I'm broadcasting live from Sao Paulo, Brazil. I'm no longer in the Hurricane Alley, as I broadcast on Monday from a house that was all shuttered up, and of course it looks like it wasn't even going to be necessary now, but I didn't know. I was leaving Monday to fly down here, so I had to get it done. So anyways, and I can tell you right now, there's two more storms brewing out off the coast of Africa, and we're leaving those shutters up because I have a feeling there's going to be some more stuff coming our way. But you're actually possibly in the path up there in Boston now, Paula.
Yeah, that's what I hear, and that's what I'm seeing on the telly, and we had, you know, I guess the earthquake run through from Virginia right up to Toronto yesterday, so anything else that, you know, nature wants to throw our way, we're ready for it.
Yeah, I hear that the president has confirmed that it's a little-known fault line that caused that earthquake yesterday. It's called Bush's fault.
But,
good joke. So anyway... Well, listen, we're going to get right to our guest today. We've got Lloyd Marcus here, and before I even give my little introduction, we're going to do a little intro song for Lloyd here, so here it goes.
You're saying that you're sure about just a socialistic scheme. The only thing it will do is kill the American dream. You want to take from achievers, somehow you think that's fair. And redistribute to the folks who won't get out of that easy chair. We're having a team. Come on and join our band. We're standing up for freedom and liberty.
Oh, yeah.
Because patriots have shown us freedom and freedom.
All right, I love that song. That's just a little intro to that. Folks, if you want to find out about more about Lloyd Marcus, go to lloydmarcus.org, and of course, go to YouTube, and you can listen to a lot of the songs he's done, as well as see him talk about some different commentary, and of course, go to his website. He writes some great articles that get published in a variety of different publications, online and off, or in print, as well as blogging. Great articles. I love reading his stuff. Lloyd, you are a Tea Party activist. You are a conservative. You are an unhyphenated American, and we love you. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hello, Tom, my patriot brother, and hello, Miss Paula.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. Tom, I wanted to tell you that I really want to thank you for running for Congress. I mean, I just wish that you had won because believe me, we need more guys like you in office.
Well, thank you for saying that, and it was a real experience. It was an eye-opener. I learned a lot, and I wouldn't be doing the show if I hadn't done that because I'd always been interested in radio, but doing a radio show based on conservatism and trying to promote conservatism, get quality candidates in the public eye and ensure that the public is informed on quality issues and important issues to us. So it was an interesting experience. It was a little costly, and of course, I didn't spend nearly as much money as some of the other candidates, but I certainly learned a lot. But in any case, if people want, I gave them your website address, but is there anywhere else or any other projects you're working on right now that people ought to know about, and how do they ought to?
Oh my goodness, yes. Number one, my website is lloydmarcus.com and not .org. And I am getting ready to go on my fifth National Tea Party Express tour. The tour will start this coming Saturday in Napa, California.
Wow. Awesome.
We will start in Napa, and I think we have like 30 or 40 stops across the country, and we finale in Tampa. We have a CNN candidates' debate happening in Tampa on, I think that's Monday, October the 12th. Folks can find out the schedule at teapartyexpress.org, and they can see the whole map of the trip and the schedule of the trip too.
Awesome. That's awesome. So my bad. It's LloydMarcus.com, and it's TeaPartyExpress.org. And
yes.
I've seen you on the Tea Party Express a couple times now, and you do a fantastic show. Explain to people what your role is when you tour with the Tea Party Express.
Well, my role is basically to fire up the crowd. Like I said, this has been my fifth tour. So I wrote the American Tea Party Anthem a couple of years ago. And so I start the rallies singing that. And I do a couple other songs to basically inspire the crowd and to set the tone for all of our speakers. Since then, I've become a speaker myself, and I do a lot of writing, so folks around the country have been asking me to come and be a keynote speaker as well as an entertainer. But the main thing I want to say is that I'm black. I'm a member of the Tea Party, and I'm a black guy, and these are not a bunch of wacko racist white people. They are simply people who love this country, and they are saying no to socialism. That's it.
Yeah, well, that's great. You do a fantastic show. Great singer. We've got a couple songs here today. A little bit later on, we'll play your Lloyd Marcus 2010 song, which has gotten about 1.2 million views on YouTube, I noticed. And then, of course, the one that I really like is your song, what's it called? Our Girls? Yeah, that's it, Our Girls.
Oh, wow.
I've got a couple. we'll finish the show out with that, whether you stick around or not, but we'll play that at the very end of the show for a takeout, and I love that song. So, because it's all true. It's absolutely true. And now tell people how you got your start in this activism. Go ahead.
There is something I wanted to say that before I talk about that, I just want to say that something that that has been really bothering me as we begin to go on this fifth tour is that there are so many people who still don't know what the Tea Party is really all about. Do you know, like, I have even met Republicans who still think that we're a bunch of fringe, loony, wacko people, and the NAACP and the Congressional Black Caucus every day is trying to say that everything is the Tea Party fault, and we're a bunch of racists. And I take super offense to that because I have met these people. Like I said, I have been to well over 200 Tea parties are nationwide. These are good, decent, hard-working people who are simply saying no to socialism. And I just find it appalling that they are continually demeaned and called names simply for standing up for America.
Exactly. Well, I saw Alan Combs trying to defend these accusations by saying, well, there's a few bad apples, and then explaining some of what these bad apples have done. Hey, you want to talk about bad apples? Let me go down a list of people in the liberal side of the House as bad apples. And exactly. But you got to look at the movement and what it stands for. And it stands for constitutionalism and conservatism, you know, Jeffersonian conservatism, which is nothing what the liberal understands. And
right. So
what we're saying is, if you want to be a constitutionalist and believe in that document that was inspired by God, something's wrong with you. Well, that is so backwards from what reality ought to be. And that's why we've got to challenge these people, and that's why you go out on the Tea Party Express, so that we can talk directly to the people and let them know what this,
amen,
how this country is supposed to be.
Brother. Amen,
yeah.
Brother. You had asked how I became a part of this movement. I think that my conservatism began when I was 9 years old and my family moved into a brand new government high-rise building. That was a brand new building. I am the oldest of five kids, and I was around 9 years old when my family moved there. And I'd say within 6 months' time, I saw that building turning into a huge ghetto. Now 90% of the people living there were black folks, and they were living on government welfare. They had free housing, free health care, free food, free everything, and yet that was a violent, destructive place to live. And the elevators were smashed out all of the time. The stairwells, they smashed out the light bulbs, and so people had to walk up these dark stairwells and be susceptible to muggings and rapes. It was a horrible place to live, and these people were getting everything completely free. And everybody around me was saying, like, everything was the white man's fault. And even at nine, I sarcastically thought, well, how can we stop these mean white people from coming in here at night and urinating in the stairwells? I mean, you know, I just knew that that was not correct. And the thing that saved me and my four younger siblings was that my father was one of the first blacks to break the color barrier into the Baltimore Fire Department. So when my father became a fireman, that gave us funds to move out of the projects. You know, I still remember my father saying, they are raising our rent to $72 a month. They're crazy. We're moving. Well, that saved me. But the bulk of my family, the bulk of them stayed under that government system. And, Tom, today, the vast majority of my family is dead. And they were on welfare their whole life. And they had free everything. And that's my problem with liberalism. It is so destructive to the human spirit. My cousins, they got involved in alcohol and drugs and crime, and they made babies all over town. They just lived these horrible, meaningless lives, and they had everything free. So they should have been living in liberal paradise, but, like, it didn't work out like that. And because I had a father, my brother David was coach of the year for the county. My brother Alan was firefighter my brother Alan was policeman of the year. That's what happens when you have an intact family, a mother and father, and a father as a role model. You know, so it, like, all this liberal nonsense says, it really annoys me, and I find it despicable when all these Democrat politicians are always pandering to the poor, especially black folks, and telling them that you need us to stop those mean Republicans from making your life miserable.
Yeah. Well, we have a mutual friend, Franz Cabreau, who's written an entire book on this, and I think he's coming out with another book. He actually was the first guest I ever had on my show, and Franz is great. He speaks like you from the heart about what liberalism has done to various groups, including the black community, and it's just destructive. So, well, listen, I'll tell you what. This might be a good point to play your song 2010. Is that okay with you, Lloyd?
Yes.
Okay, let's play this. This is a great song. I love this song. It came out.
Start spreading the news. I'm telling you today, we're taking back America in 2010.
You were right.
This socialist nightmare must come to an end. 'Cause we're gonna vote them out in 2010. I wanna wake up by plea. Without acorn thugs breaking my knees, my Reed Pelosi blues will soon melt away. We're taking the House and Senate in 2010. If we can stop them there, their agenda doesn't have a prayer. It's up to you in 2010.
As a matter of fact, I have just done a brand new version of that song. I'm going to be debuting on the tour called 2012. So we're halfway there.
Excellent. Now, didn't you get some volunteers to work with you to put together a CD full of music, a bunch of patriots to help you out with that?
Yes, I did. That project was called TR the World, and that turned out fantastic. The way that started, like I said, I have done all of these tours across the country, and all of these musicians almost in every single state say that they would like to get involved in the Tea Party movement. So I came up with an idea of writing a song. I wrote a song called Taking Back America. And I thought it would be neat if we could record it the same way that they did We Are the World, like, you know, how they got all those different singers to sing a line of the song.
Right.
Yes. So I put out a call nationwide for musicians to come here to Florida. I record at Deltona Records with this fantastic producer, Frank Starcheck. And we had like 100 musicians from around the country show up to record this song. And all of the benefits from the sale of the song go to an organization called America's Mighty Warriors. They support the families of fallen soldiers. Like all of these musicians, they came and they recorded that song. And these are singers and professional bands from around the country. And they said, well, why don't we just submit a song and do a whole CD? So I sent out another national press release saying, like all of the conservative musicians around the country, to submit a song, and we got hundreds of submissions, and we narrowed them down to 44 songs because that's the maximum amount of songs that we could fit on two CEDs. you know, and we created this package called the whole package is called TR the World. And TR the World, it has the one song that we recorded together called Taking Back America, and then it has 44 songs from conservative singers across the country. And we have a huge range of music from rappers country music and rock and roll and everything in between all there. So like it's a fantastic package. And we have a DVD also inside the package of the making of TR the World. This fantastic Emmy, Emmy award-winning producer came and shot a music video of the whole thing. So that's in the package as well. We have a 30-minute documentary and a music video in the TR the World package. And people can get that at AmericasMightyWarriors.org. AmericasMightyWarriors.org. And every single penny goes to America's Mighty Warriors, which supports the families of fallen soldiers.
Yeah, that's awesome. I checked out that website, and I was impressed by your support for the troops. That's something that we frequently talk about on this show, our support for the troops. We had Jill Trammell and former Navy SEAL Craig Sawyer guest hosting for me for a couple weeks while I was on vacation, and they did all kinds of Wounded Warrior. Actually, they're affiliated with the Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation, and they promoted that heavily while they were on. But yeah, we thank you for your support of the troops, and as a retired Navy commander, I can't thank you enough. You know, it brings
Tom
to mind something that you said earlier about the Tea Partiers are just, you know, real patriots and just average Americans, et cetera. You know, when somebody like Maxine Waters says that the Tea Party is the enemy, what she's really saying is the Tea Party threatens the elitist and the status quo in Washington, D.C., and they are the enemy of the destroyers of our nation. But
exactly.
I'm going to just give you my little perspective on the Tea Partiers, because I've been a member of numerous groups. I've seen you on stage several times and been to big rallies, small rallies, and that kind of a thing. And let me tell you who the makeup of these people are. There's a large percentage of stay-at-home moms, retirees, a large percentage of veterans. So if she thinks those are the kind of people that are the enemy to this nation, she's a liar, she's a deceiver, and she herself is actually an enemy of the state. But the Tea Party people, I've gotten to know many, many of them, are some of the best people in the world, the finest people in the world, and every Tea Party rally, small and large, that I've been to has been very well controlled, very respectful, and everybody there just having a good time trying to promote our nation and what it's based on and founded on. So in any case, there's my little rant of the day because of what Maxine Waters said, but she's really quite disgusting. And
she's
a known race baiter to begin with. But in any case, go ahead, Lloyd.
I find the NAACP despicable, and also find the Congressional Black Caucus is despicable, because neither one of them really give a darn about Black America. If they did, Tom, look, the most powerful Black man in the world is Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Well, I guess I'm talking about before Barack Obama was Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. The NAACP, they despise this man because he's a conservative. To me, if they gave a darn about Black kids, they would have been holding Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas up as a shining example of what can be achieved through education, doing the right thing, and hard work. This guy, I don't know if you have read his book, but like back in 1940, he was a barefoot kid in a cotton field picking cotton, and that kid grew up to be one of the most powerful men in the world. Good Lord, that's America.
Yeah.
You know, so how can you possibly say a black man can't make it in America. Another person the NAACP hates is Condoleezza Rice. She's another person who got where she was not because of affirmative action, because she was the best qualified for a job. Why can't they give that? Why can't they give black people that kind of respect and dignity? But like, no, they have to tell black people we're going to lower standards for you. I mean, my goodness, they're saying that black people can't find their way to the DMC to get a driver's license to show when they go to vote. I mean, it's totally,
yeah.
And they do so many things to basically tell black people they are stupid, they need standards lower for them, and America is against them. And America is the greatest land of opportunity on this planet for all who choose to go for it, period. End of subject. You know, I everything else is pandering nonsense. And the NAACP and Al Sharpton, I just find them a very despicable bunch. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. No, you're absolutely right. Well, this is a good time to point out an article that you just put out on August 16th entitled "They Who Live by the Race Card Die by the Race Card." Fantastic article, and people really need to go to LloydMarcus.com and read some of your articles, because you really nail it on the head every single time when it comes to these issues, and you've got a great perspective for this, but these are the things that need to be said and put out there, and so I highly recommend everybody go to LloydMarcus.com and read your articles. And I can't say enough. I love the stuff that you put out there, Lloyd. And in any case, now tell us, when you go on your Tea Party Express tour across the nation, what kind of crowds are showing up on average in general to these events?
It's very interesting. You can really tell the tone of the country. Like I said, I have been on four tours, and when we went on the first tour, the tours were small. I mean, some of them had as many as 50 people. When Barack Obama finally got in office and got established, and people started to seeing the direction that he was taking our country, the tours jumped to thousands of people at every rally. And something else also, when I first started this, I saw no black people except for me. I mean, but I am starting to see more and more black folks at these rallies. So I started walking up and personally talking to them, saying, you know, well, what made you show up today? And very interesting, most of them were former military, and they have seen the effects of socialism around the world, the negative effects of socialism around the world, and many of them were entrepreneurs. So they go, oh, so once you start paying taxes, you know, then they begin seeing the light.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting how when the president just recently did his little bus tour, he didn't go into any black communities. And there's a reason for that, because his policies have hit the black and Hispanic communities harder than any other communities across this country. And that brings to mind a gentleman in South Florida named Alcee Hastings, only modern day in history federal judge impeached. You have to have some serious evidence to impeach a federal judge. He was impeached. He went down and found a nice gerrymandered district in South Florida that is very overwhelmingly black neighborhoods. And mm-hmm. for 13 years now, there has been no progress made whatsoever. But he always goes around demonizing, and he plays the race card bigger than I've ever seen anybody.
They keep voting for that same guy. And they we have the same thing here with Corinne Brown. I mean, her district is terrible. Those people are poor, and they keep voting for her. It's so frustrating.
Right, it is. It's very frustrating. But unfortunately, the impression I get from things that, you know, Franz has told me is the idea is to keep people poor and uneducated so that it's easy to trick them. It's not that they're dumb people, but it's just they develop a culture over time living in these particular communities, and anybody could live there, whether they be white, black, Hispanic, Chinese. But if you're poor and you're constantly hearing the same stuff over and over, you know, Alcee tells the people, if you elect that white devil that's running against me, you're going to go to hell in a handbasket in this community.
Exactly, and they believe it.
And that's the kind of language he uses. I've watched him threaten Bernard Sansirik, who is of Haitian background and a wonderful man who ran against him and is going to run against him again and give it another try. It's difficult. Fortunately, there is a fairly large Haitian community in that district. But Bernard is a true man of honor. And Alcee Hastings, on the stage, told him he'd better watch out.
Yeah.
And not like what you say or whatever. You just better watch your back, buddy, because, you know, he's a thug is what he is. Now, Corning Brown, is she a thug? No, but she constantly plays the race card. And, you know, for example, when we promoted you coming on the show, a lot of people know who you are. But I never said anything about you being black because I really don't care. There is a very important point, though. The fact that you are such an activist, it does help the cause. But the reality is, you're an American, and I love the way you say on your website, you're an unhyphenated, and that's the way I feel, too. My last name may be Garcia, but I never refer to myself as being Hispanic or Hispanic-American or Mexican-American or anything like that. I'm an American, period.
Amen.
And that's where we need to go in this country. And that's one of the things that Franz Cabreau is fighting so hard for, and why we're always so glad to have him on the show, is just stop. You know, Franz and I both served in the Navy. And I not only was in the Navy for 22 years, but I grew up in an Air Force family. And when you live on bases, and it was interesting that you said that some of the first folks of color that were coming to the Tea Party groups had been military and entrepreneurs. You know, when you're on a military base, even back in the 60s, I just didn't notice color, quite honestly. I mean, I noticed people had
different
skin
tones. And I
have noticed
that with... And I have noticed that with several of my military family friends, and they have that same attitude.
Yeah, it just doesn't exist in the military thing. Because, I mean, there was a time where there was some segregation and stuff, but for me as a kid growing up in the 60s and living on bases, it was never talked about. It just didn't exist. And so I always found the whole discrimination thing hard to understand. And it wasn't until I was an adult and already out of the Navy, I'm still in the reserves, but I was flying with a captain who at American Airlines many years ago, who, similar situation, grew up in the military, et cetera, and he was a combination of a black background, I think, as well as maybe Hawaiian, but he did look like a black man, and...
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that would make him kind of like Barack Obama, right? Oh, no, he doesn't have
any Hawaiian.
Yeah, right. He was born there, supposedly.
Yeah.
But anyways, he said, Tom, you know, it's true. People like us that grow up in the families that we grow up in and the way we grow up, we're colorblind. It wasn't until I was an adult traveling in the South with my family on a vacation that I did start to feel some of that discrimination. So it certainly may still exist there, and we're all for stomping that out. But I got to tell you, if you grew up where I grew up, and not necessarily affluent, but in the military, you just didn't see it. And that's sort of the lesson I think we need to learn, is that the growing up in the military and other parts of the country, that never was a factor. So we need to kind of copycat that and bring that into the rest of the nation and educate people in various communities that this is the way to go. And so the things that you do and France and others that are promoting this, you know, no hyphenation, no, just look past everything else, look for the person. And the military, I can tell you this, I had everybody working for me from, you know, every background, even Middle Eastern. And but I never doubted anybody's patriotism in the military, not because of they're just simply in the military, but all I had to do was observe them and have them work, the ones that were working for me, just see the way they applied themselves. I knew they were patriots, and they weren't just there for some kind of free ride, which is kind of hard to get a free ride on a carrier in the United States Navy. Everybody's working pretty hard. But that's really where you learn about people's character, and they came from all kinds of backgrounds, some very poor, some affluent, and from every, you know, racial background that you can think of, and yet we always pulled together as a team and always worked very, very hard said, everything that we did. And I guess sometimes I have a hard time grasping having, you know, what it would be like to not have been in the military and grown up in the military. And I really sort of pity people that don't and don't see it. Now, you know, folks like you and Paula never served in the military, but
well, I did.
You're smart people and you get it. And you know, you understand the history of this country and certainly have probably family members and others that have been in the military. And that's, I guess you know what I'm doing? I'm talking way too much about the military here. Obviously.
Oh, no. Hey, Tom, but look, but like I want to say that yes, I served 2 years in the U.S. Army.
Oh, awesome. Well, then obviously, okay, that would explain why you're so sharp. And, of course, our very good friend Colonel Bob McKean, who was a key part of my congressional campaign, I don't know if he's listening in or not, but we love him, and he's a great patriot. But thank you so much for your service, and that's such a wonderful experience, wouldn't you say, to have that time in the military and
see the way things run? Absolutely. And I had a very unusual tour because I spent my whole time at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the whole tour. I had a very simple tour, too, because I was a graphic designer, so I worked in the art department in the morning, and I was a singer. I sang in the Green Beret chorus in the afternoons.
Oh, wow.
And that was my whole, you know, and that was
awesome.
My whole tour. You're fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die.
Yeah. Well, for a singer, that's a great tour.
But I have the highest respect for the military. Yeah, and you know, you were talking about race, you know, and this is what I keep saying. Like, I'm not stupid. I'm not saying that we don't have a racism in this country. Of course we do. But like, but there is not enough racism to stop anybody from doing anything in this country. I don't believe that people are hardcore victims of racism in America, and that's what the NAACP and the Congressional Black Caucus continue to try to push. And to me, it is evil because I feel like imagine having a $1,000 bill stuck in your back pocket, and everybody sees this $1,000 bill hanging out your back pocket, and you're walking around thinking you are completely broke, and no one is saying, "Hey, there's a $1,000 bill sticking in your black pocket." And that's exactly what the NAACP does, and that's exactly what the Congressional Black Caucus does. They're always telling Black America that they are victims of racism. I don't know if you remember six months ago, Glenn Beck had a rally in Washington. Al Sharpton decided to do a counter rally because he said that Beck's rally was a racist. And Sharpton had all of these black college kids who probably came to this rally in $50,000 cars marching down the street singing "We Shall Overcome." Now I'm watching this thinking, "We shall overcome what?" I mean, I felt like, yeah, you know, I just felt like I was watching something from a time warp back into the 1950s. You know, and I just think that these people are despicable and evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you really feel, Lloyd?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, we've got the president of the United States is black. I mean, that proves that anybody can achieve the highest possible goal.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we've had Winston Scott was on the show a few months ago, and that was a fantastic. That's probably one of the biggest downloads that we have off the internet is that interview with Winston Scott, the former astronaut, NASA astronaut. Now he's dean of aeronautics at FIT. So you may, it's kind of in your territory there. You may know Winston. I don't know if you do or not.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, anyway, this just goes to show you can achieve anything you want. You can be an astronaut. You can be president of the United States. You can be a singer, in the military. You can do anything you want in this country, and that's probably the best point anybody could make about this, and you make that all the time, and it's the absolute truth. So, well, Let me ask you this, Lloyd. When you're on tour with the look, how about this? Of all of the Tea Party rallies you've been to, whether it be with a Tea Party Express or anything that you've joined in on and gone to or spoken at, what are like maybe the two most memorable, if you can come up with two, but two most memorable things that you can remember that you would want to tell people about, any stories that happened, anything
oh my
that occurred,
goodness.
Any particular speaker?
I can tell you one that really stands out is Traverse City, Michigan. We had a fantastic rally there, beautiful day, like 1,000 or so people, and I finaled my performance with God Bless the USA. When I came down off of the stage, I had the hardest time making it through the crowd because all of these people wanted to shake my hand and take pictures with me. This stone-faced reporter walked up to me. She was a young white female. Like I said, this stone face from the local newspaper there, and she said, "How are you, a black man, comfortable, you know, at this hate-filled, racist event?" And I just wanted to say, "Are you nuts?" Because to me, the whole atmosphere was just beaming with the love and affection for America. Everybody's having a fantastic time. And she's calling this a hate-filled event. And so when I politely attempted to tell her otherwise, she became angry at me, abruptly stopped the interview, turned, and walked away. And then,
wow.
And then at that same rally, this lady, I was walking back to the product table, and there was a lady there in a wheelchair, a white lady. And this lady said, "Oh my God, it's Lloyd Marcus." She said, "I so much wanted to see you." And she asked me if I would take a picture with her and give her my autograph. And her daughter was with her adult daughter, and her adult daughter told one of our staff members, "My mom is dying," and she said the only thing she wanted to do before she died was to meet Lloyd Marcus. I mean, wow, Tom, man, that just really humbled me, like you would not believe, you know. And like I said, that's why I just find it so upsetting, and it makes me so angry when people call these decent folks who love their country, they call them a bunch of racists. They are not, you know. Another rally that sticks out in my head is when we were in Texas. This tall white guy, he looked like the typical stereotype of a cowboy, boots, a western shirt, hat, everything. He came up to me, and he was pushing a stroller with two black babies, and he said that he and his wife, who was also white, had asked God to give them some babies who needed their love. He was so excited that they were able to adopt these two black babies. And he was also excited because the following week those babies would become official U.S. citizens. I think they got them from Africa. You know, but that's the kind of people I met on the road.
Wow. Yeah, that's the same kind of thing that I've seen. Wonderful, wonderful people. And for somebody that's a representative of the people to call them enemies of the state or terrorists and on is just despicable. And we've got to get rid of these people. I mean, we need to run them out of office and never let
really
them anywhere near the government again.
Hey, Tom, I know you're supposed to be interviewing me, but like, I am very curious. What was the tipping point that made you run for Congress? Because believe me, like anybody who does not know, that's a huge step to run for public office. I mean, you are putting yourself, like, on the line big time. People don't have an idea of what y'all guys go through. What made you take that bold step?
Well, I was very fearful for where our country was going, and I started becoming active in the Republican Party before the 2008 presidential race because I was concerned about things. I had a strong feeling that Obama was going to win, and my research of him and his background showed me exactly the kind of guy he is and was. Mm-hmm. And then when he did get elected, that's when I got even more active. And I started telling people in the local Republican Party, and this was just before the Tea Party kind of started to become an entity, I said, we have got to start working right now, or we're going to lose in 2010 and 2012 after that, and then the country's gone. And my platform back then in probably it would have been very early 2009 had already become the Constitution. And I know a lot of people thought, and so it took a while for me to get there. People actually started saying to me, Tom, so what race are you running for? Because I was just so vocal and active in some different groups. And I said, I'm not running for anything. I never had a desire to run for office because I knew it was a lot of work and could be a lot of pain and hard on the family. But more and more people, and then people started asking me to run. So I started looking at some state races, and then the next thing you know, I'm in a U.S. congressional race. And that was kind of it. But my platform in the beginning was the Constitution, and people kind of used to look at me a little perplexed. And I think we have a very, very good idea of what was going to be needed by this administration to pull off the things that it's doing, and that is violate the Constitution on a weekly mm-hmm. basis and destroy it, because it's a huge impediment to liberalism, our Constitution.
Exactly.
That was the design of it, was to impede liberalism in mm-hmm. government. And so that was my – now a lot of people are on the bandwagon with the Constitution. I'm glad people caught on, but there are so many things that people didn't know. And as a sort of a history buff on the Constitution, I saw it coming, I would say, long before most people did. And my wife will tell you the stories. I used to be looking at Glenn Beck on TV or listening to Rush Limbaugh and going – why aren't you talking about the Constitution? Because there might have been issues that were going on. Yeah, that I said the answer's in the Constitution, or this is a violation of the Constitution, but
yeah,
nobody was
good.
Talking about it. And now we hear it on a much bigger basis, and I think people are catching on now. They're starting to read it. You know, one of the things I did, I had little pocket constitutions that I handed out, and it was given to me by the American it's a play on the ACLU, but it's not. It's American Constitutional Liberty. I'll put it on the air next time. I've forgotten. But sent me like thousands of these pocket constitutions for free, and I passed them out everywhere I went. And I think people started catching on and reading and going, you know what? Because a lot of people hadn't read the Constitution probably since they were a kid. And once you read it, you go, my goodness, the government has very, very little authority, let alone the president has almost no authority. And
mm-hmm.
look what they've been doing to us all these years. So
that's
why I got involved, and that's why I'm doing this radio show, is to try and promote,
and that's
promote
great.
Not only conservatism, but the Constitution.
Well, Tom, and that's the Tea Party movement. You're the Tea Party movement. I'm the Tea Party movement. Look, I was up in Buffalo, New York. I met this senior citizen, and she said, I had two knee operations, and I was stuck at home, and I was sick of the liberalism in my community, and so I started a conservative newspaper, and her paper is now extremely successful. That's the Tea Party movement, you know, and this is what I love about this movement. We have no central authority. There's nobody leading the movement. It's people who love this country that are stepping up and following their gifts and passion to take back America, and I love it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you made a very good point. There's no central power or authority. So when Maxine Waters says the enemy is the Tea Party, I'd ask Maxine Waters, okay, who's the president of that organization? Who can
exactly.
we target in that
yeah.
organization? Well, there's nobody to target except the millions of Americans that have risen up and said, no more of your crap, Maxine Waters.
Right. Yeah.
That's why she calls it the enemy. So it's not really a person, an entity, or an organization. It's a movement, it's a cause, and it's millions of Americans. So, well, listen, Lloyd, one last time. Time has flown by. It always does, I know, when I've chatted with you in the past, and I'm sure your interviews go like this, like light work. Paula, do you have any final question for Lloyd here before we wrap things up?
No, I don't, but I want to say it was a pleasure to have met him, and I friended him on Facebook, and I'm going to continue to follow what he has to say.
Thank you, Paula.
And one of the
great
people in the, one of the people in the chat room said when we played the 2010 song, what a voice. And it's true. It's I've seen you live, and of course, you know, you can go to YouTube and listen to the songs. We're going to close out. I just want to remind people, we're going to close out with your song Our Girls, but we've got some administrative stuff we've got to talk about and do that. But in any case, one last time, LloydMarcus.com. Are there any other projects people ought to know about or anything else you'd like to tell people about the things you're working on?
No, like others that – like I said, I am starting the tour this coming Saturday, and I'm going to be posting on several sites, but I think I will probably be posting mostly on American Thinker every day, and they can log on there and find out what is happening at the rallies, because I want to try to do an update every single day from the road. It could be kind of rough because it's kind of rough working on my laptop or riding on the bus.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, yeah. Well, now, your wife does most of the posting on Facebook for you. Will she be putting stuff out on Facebook?
Yes, Mary is going to be on the road with me. Did I tell you that we have Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live is going to be on the tour with us? And I don't know if you remember Jim Labriola from Home Improvement. He's going to be on the bus with us as well.
Sweet, nice.
Awesome. Yeah, cool. Now, are you doing anything with Twitter, putting stuff out on Twitter?
Yes, Mary does that too. Mary will be doing Facebook and all of that for me.
Lloyd, will
you
be in the Boston area by any chance?
Huh?
Will you be coming up to the Boston area by any chance?
Yes. Like I said, I can't remember where specifically, but I know we're going to be up there. If you go to teapartyexpress.org, you can see the whole map as well as the schedule.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll look for you then. I'm outside of Boston.
Cool.
Oh, and you're coming to Newton. That's just up the road from me.
Oh, good, good, good. So hopefully I'll see you. Hey, and you can be a member of my Million Handshake March.
Wait.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll even do a live broadcast, or maybe Paula will even do just a quickie interview with you there just to see how things are going.
That would be great.
Time you get all the way across the country to Boston, you're probably going to be bushed, but we'll look for you there, and then of course I'll follow where you're going to be along the route, and I'm going to start doing some traveling here to do some live interviews. The Tea Party Convention that's going to be in Daytona in November, we're going to be there, and then CPAC Florida in September, just next month, we're going to be there also interviewing people and broadcast, doing some live broadcasting. So we may run into you somewhere along the road there, Lloyd.
Yep.
And
that sounds great.
It's been a pleasure having you. You can hang with us if you want. I've got to do some stuff about some upcoming shows, but you're free to leave.
This has been a hoot, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You are very
thanks,
welcome.
Lloyd. All right. Appreciate it.
Okay.
We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Well, Paula, I told you Lloyd was going to be a great interview, and he always is, and he's a great patriot and wonderful man, and I've known him for a few years now and saw him on the road as I was campaigning, but also, you know, as I was participating in some of the patriotic type of revolution going on. But I wanted to shout out to a couple people. Number one is Joan Flowers up in Chicago, and we're still working on her issue with her dad. It's been difficult finding a route to get him buried in Arlington, and the biggest problem is we don't have his military record. There was a big fire in 73 in the National Archives, and there's very little information available other than an entry record, you know, an induction to the military, and then his discharge. So what's in between has been hard to fill in. So we're working on a couple possibilities, but what it's probably going to boil down to is doing a couple fundraisers and just simply raising the money versus relying on the government or any of our loser politicians to help make this happen, politicians that have promised things in the past. But in any case, we're still working on it, and that's the update that I have for now, and I'm trying to work with a couple local American Legions. They don't really have anything in place to handle this, but we might be able to get the membership involved there such that, again, we can do a local a rally and fundraiser for her there. So we'll see if we're able to pull that off, and I'll update you on that. Also, our friend Denny Lombardo, who's in the Melbourne area and I think not too far away from Lloyd, and I was going to ask him if he stuck around, if he actually has met Denny at some of the Tea Party rallies and things like that. But she has started a organization called AnotherBrickInTheWall.us. And she's been involved with some different cancer projects in the past, et cetera, as well as with our veterans. But Another Brick in the Wall is a way to generate some money for cancer research, and it's kind of an interesting approach. It's, you can get a bracelet, but instead of just wearing a colored band, you get a bracelet that actually is engraved and says in memory of, or in thoughtfulness of, or whatever. So it can be a cancer patient, or it can be somebody that passed from cancer, and all proceeds are going towards future cancer research. So check out AnotherBrickInTheWall.us. And then a reminder, on the 17th of August, Frank Acula was on the show. And he has just recently came out with a book. I think it was within days of coming out with the book he was on the show, entitled Sarah Palin Out of Nowhere. Fantastic book. Great read. Gives you some great insight into not only Sarah Palin and how she got involved in the presidential race as a vice presidential candidate, but also you also get insight into that presidential race and what was going on from inside the McCain campaign as well. So it's very, very insightful and got some great information. So check that book out, Sarah Palin Out of Nowhere. And then, of course, our friends over at the Conservative Republican Forum, Steve Rosenblum and Daria DiGiovanni, they've got, I believe this Saturday, Tom Trento. And go check them out. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. You can go to our website, usaradionetwork.com, and there's a link to Steve and his websites. But Tom Trento is the president of United West, and it's basically the West uniting against Sharia law. You know, the Islam is going to try and push, and various Muslim organizations are trying to push Sharia law and exemptions for Sharia law and to Sharia law in the U.S., and that's what he's going to be talking about. And he's got done a lot of research into this and, of course, formed this group to combat that. Now, upcoming guests, Paula, on the 29th, we've got Dr. John Casey. He's president of the Space and Science Research Group, and he wrote a book called Cold Sun. And he's, so for all the times, Paul, that I talk about global warming and what a bunch of baloney it is, et cetera, but then people go like, so Tom, are you a climatologist or scientist? We're going to have one on the show on the 29th. He's going to explain the same things that I talk about. It doesn't take a genius to figure this stuff out, but he's going to explain what he wrote in Cold Sun, and so we're looking forward to him. So it's going to be the global warming show, and not just me spouting off, but now we're going to actually have a scientist and climatologist and whatever else his background is, but a well-respected guy who has worked, I believe, in the past for NASA as well. And then on the 31st of August, did you ever hear of this guy, Paula? Jack Cassell, Dr. Jack Cassell, who put a sign up that said, if you voted for Obama, please seek health care elsewhere. Did you remember hearing about that guy?
Vaguely.
Yeah, it was big in, you know, it was big in Central Florida, and I ran into him at a few events and got
Did
to
you?
Chat with him. Well, Dick, yeah, our friend Dick Bierenbach, who's spending some quality time with his with I think one of his daughters and grandchildren, and is having a good time there. He arranged this for us. So the 31st of August, Dr. Jack Cassell, and he's going to come on and talk about, and on the last show I mentioned that it's going to be interesting to see his perspective. He was opposed to government-run health care and had his reasons for it, which were very valid reasons, and we talked about that back on Monday's show, so go back and review that. I quoted some things out of a book from a good friend of mine, Dr. James D. Jerome, The Cure for the American Healthcare Malady, and you need to check that out. A fantastic book, but just go check out my comments that I took right out of the book. And so it's going to be interesting to see his perspective before and now his perspective today based on the things we now know about Obamacare. Also, we're going to try and get Dr. D. Jerome to come on and talk to us as well. I believe he travels around over the summertime in Europe, and but if we can get him on in the next few months, it'd be great to get his perspective on. When you wrote the book, you know, a few years ago, Obamacare was just in its infancy when his book was published, so he had written it long before that and started it long before that. But to see his perspective on it now, and he has some very very good information on government-run healthcare. Here's one of the things, Paul, that I put out. I know you were busy, and we're going to ask you why you were so busy. But one of the things that I put out was the United States in its healthcare system, privatized healthcare system, spends $111 billion, and that was like maybe a few years ago, $111 billion on healthcare and medicine research. So R&D, research and development, $111 billion. Now, this is straight out of his book. How much do you think Canada and the major European countries with, I think maybe he named Canada, the UK, Germany, and I don't remember who else, a couple other countries, spend in total on research and development? Now, they're nationalized, they're government-run healthcare systems, so there aren't private healthcare systems there. I mean, there are some systems or research facilities, stuff there that do things that you can't get away with, say, in the States, et cetera. But for the most part, healthcare is run by the government in those countries. How much would you guess, Paul, if we spend $111 in the private sector in the U.S., what do you think all of those European and Canadian countries spend on research and development?
Well, did you say 111 million, a billion?
Billion, 111 billion on research and development.
I would say that they would probably spend about half, if not 70% of that.
Yeah, they're spending 100 million.
Yeah.
So we're talking like a 1%. That's about 1%. 1%. So all of the true, you know, cutting edge and useful research and development is coming out of the U.S., but as we take it away from private industry and government takes care of it, handle of it, that there's no incentive, there's no money-making incentive for the private sector, and that's just going to dwindle away, and we're all going to pay the price for that. So that's just an example. But so in any case, we got Dr. Jack Cassell, a doctor, I think he's a urologist is what he is, and he's going to be on the show on the 31st. Now, you've been more and more busy lately, and I'm sure there are plenty of people out there going, come on, where's Paula? I'm tired of listening to you, Tom. Why isn't Paula on the show? Explain to people what you've been up to.
Well, what we've been up to is we started an independent power producer, an energy sector consulting firm at the end of 2010. And we recently landed a contract because we're working on behalf of this company to find renewable energy assets under development here in the States. So what we do specifically is we're a consulting firm, and we have extensive expertise in every aspect of power generation and renewable energy. We've got a strong team with a strong background. Each individual carries probably between 20 and 25 years of experience behind them. And we like to describe our services as, you know, literally end-to-end when it comes to power projects. So we provide services in origination and development, project management, EPC oversight, permits, interconnection, asset management, energy management. You know, if you're interested and you want to take a look at our website, It's www.inventiveenergy.com. Inventive Energy is one word. It's I, N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, E, N, T as in Tom, I, V as in Victor, E, N, E, R, G, Y. So that takes up a lot of my time.
I seem to have dropped off the system, so I'm going to have to call back in. And
no, that's okay.
I'll be right back. Oh, am I? Okay.
Yes, you are.
Okay, then maybe you were just cutting in and out, so I didn't hear if you finished talking or not. It just got silent there for a while.
It's okay. No, it did. It got silent on my end, too. It's okay.
That's okay. All right. Well, so can you tell us, is this energy project you're talking about, is this traditional energy? Is this a green type energy? What are we talking about?
It is a green type energy. There is a mandate that they're looking for. You know, their specific technology, what they're looking for is hydro, and then it follows wind, solar, and natural gas.
Okay.
You know, I can't get too much into it, but, you know, as time moves on, you know,
okay,
branching out and talking to more people, and hopefully it gets the ball rolling.
Yeah, okay. Well, as I said before, we're going to end this segment with a song by Lloyd Marcus, another song by Lloyd Marcus called Our Girls, and it's a sort of a parody, really, of the song My Girl. But the subject of the song are the women that are involved in the Patriot and Tea Party movement. And, you know, when somebody like Debbie What's-Her-Next-Lie Schultz says that Republicans are anti-woman, I would say a majority of the groups and events that were planned that I attended over the last few years and groups that I have joined are being led by women. And the Tea Party, the first state convention for the Tea Party movement. So it's not a specific group, as we said before. We're just all, you know, connected by a cause, and that's it. Is being organized by a woman we had her on the show a couple weeks ago, Pam, and I can't think of her last name, but she was on the show, and she's organizing the first ever Florida Tea Party Convention in Daytona for November, and we'll be there. So I just got a call from a lady saying, hey, do you want a booth? And call me, and we're going to set that up. So we're going to be there. We're going to be doing lots of interviews and broadcasting, and you're going to get to see firsthand the kind of people that are coming, because I'm going to grab average people. Yeah, there are going to be some people there, like I'm confusing the two. I don't want to name any names. But you can go to the website. Just do a Google of a Florida Tea Party Convention, and you'll find it. It's something like, I don't even want to go, I don't want to even guess at the address, but it was on a previous show. Go look at some of the previous shows, and you'll see it. So that's why we're going to play this song, and I love this song. But just before we get there, I want to remind people, we're on Facebook at the American Hour Radio Show page. Just go look for that on Facebook, and then on Twitter. If you're out there and you're thinking, oh, I don't like new Twitter, I don't do whatever, you need to follow the American Hour, because we put out all kinds of stuff that are newsworthy that you're not going to get in the mainstream media, or you'd have to spend hours scouring the media offstream to find these things, and we do that for you. So it's worth your while to go. And I'm just going to read a couple of the highlights from the last couple days. And, of course, I put this stuff out even when I'm on the road, not driving, but, you know, here I am down in Brazil. I put this stuff out here, and I want you to get a taste of it. And it's not just me commenting and you know, pointing the finger or anything like that. I put articles in almost every one of my tweets that tell you where you can go look for information and read an article yourself and decide for yourself. Now, I do spice up the tweets a little bit with my own commentary, and as you're going to see, Paula, I know you've read some of my stuff and followed me, but here's one. Yeah, I know. I get a little racy at times, but I'm just trying to draw attention. Yeah. Well, first of all, here's one that has nothing to do with politics, and that was the new cancer cure website, Another Brick in the Wall, and I got the link right there. How about before that? Let's just run down the list. Sarah Palin out of nowhere, and again, I put the link there for Frank Acula, who wrote the book, and a link where you can go find the book and that kind of stuff. Here we go. Russian cargo flight to a space station crashes, and I put the link there. And you probably heard about that today. Then I throw my little commentary on there. But we don't need NASA. See all the commercial providers stepping up. You know, this administration is basically canceled NASA, and this is the result of it. We're going to rely on the Russians, and we were told that, oh yeah, commercial organizations, the commercial community, corporate community, will jump in here and start providing travel to space, you know, for a fee. Nobody's jumping on that. So once again, lied to by this administration. How about this? This was a retweet of somebody that sent me a link about restoring fiscal sanity and economic stability. I didn't even go look at it. Normally I don't do that, but I didn't have time. Next in the list, destroyer-in-chief to break Bush's debt record in less than half the time. Great article by Ed Morrissey on Hot Air, and if you haven't been to that website, lots of good stuff there. And then my commentary is transforming the U.S. into Rome's final days. In the final days, that's precisely where Rome was, heavily, heavily in debt. Its currency devalued to the point of no value, and that's the direction that this administration wants to go, is to start spending more money that we don't have, because they've been so unsuccessful at it. Paula, you and I did an entire show on the Great Depression, and spending money didn't work back then. And guess what? It still doesn't work today, but we have incompetents in office who don't know anything about history and are more than willing to repeat it. The next tweet, as we begin shutting down our coal plants, we subsidize foreign nations to build them. And I've got an article there for it. And then I commented, we're just saving the planet. This is absolutely true. In India, and I can't remember the other country, our money that we give to the International Monetary Fund or the World Bank, one of those two, and it's all in the article, and we're the largest supplier of that money, is going to subsidize the building of brand new coal plants as we regulate ours out of existence, because we're trying to save the planet, Paula. And yet, I guess it seems like people like Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama believe that if we shut down every car and every coal plant and every nuclear plant in the U.S., that would somehow save the planet, while everybody else in the world is actually doing it and ramping it up. They're deluded and they're not very bright. Let's see. Science when it suits them. It's the libtards use science when it suits them, but when it doesn't, nope, science doesn't actually count anymore. What if the incompetent-in-chief isn't so smart? That was the article. Now, the article's title was actually, What If Obama Isn't So Smart? But I put in there my own little commentary, What If the incompetent-in-chief isn't so smart? And the evidence shows by this article, and there's the link right there, that he's not that smart. It's a pretty impressive article. I actually may, on Monday, go through that article and talk about what he's done in the last 2.5 years. But the main thing is, by the end of his term here, he will have run up the national debt by over $5 trillion, and it took George Bush 8 years to do $4.9 trillion. So this guy who promised to cut the debt as well as the annual deficit in half by the end of his first term is actually doubling it. I mean, can you imagine that, Paula? If you were a bank and I came to you and said, hey, I'd like some credit, and you give it to me, and then I go and spend it, and then I come back to you and say, hey, listen, I'm going to pay off half of my debt in the next couple years. Don't worry about it. You go, okay, no problem. Just make your payments. And then you find out that 2 years later, not only did I not make my payments, but I went and got credit cards at other banks and have doubled down on all my debt. I mean, what would you think of a person like that?
A little bit out of control.
Yeah, totally out of control.
If you went out and got credit cards, I mean, I would think that would be out of control. That's what this country's doing anyways.
So that's the kind of irresponsibility that we've got running our government right now, and it really has to be stopped. And they make all kinds of excuses for why they can't stop it, and that's precisely what they are. Excuses. So if you want to follow us on Twitter and you don't have an account, or you do, you know, go get an account. It's very easy to do. And then look for, do a search for The American Hour. No spaces there, just The American Hour. And you'll see all the stuff that we put out. Since I started doing this a few years ago, and I'm nowhere in the league of the heavy tweeters, because I don't put out fluff. I've put out 2,671, and I've got almost 3,500 people following me, and I'm on 72 different specific lists for the stuff I put out. And even just the other day, I got there are some different online magazines that people themselves have just kind of put out, and because of all the articles that I link to on my tweets, they're a way of me commenting on issues. But for example, here's one: the Liberty Movement Daily is out, and they used a story from one of my tweets, so you know I got the credit for highlighting that particular story that they were interested in, and there are several others online that will, I'd say about once a week, I get one of these online magazines, you know, crediting me for finding a story that they end up using. So that's good. It highlights us a little bit and gets us some more following. But in any case, go there. And then if you go to the web, to Facebook, please click on the like button if you haven't done that before. So that's pretty much it. We'll be back on Monday. I'll be broadcasting again from Hurricane Alley, although the hurricane will be passed by then, thank goodness. Except, unfortunately, Paul, it may be up in your neck of the woods. We'll call it broadcasting from Hurricane Alley, just not the Florida Hurricane Alley.
Thanks.
Hopefully it's just going to keep curving on out to sea, that high pressure over the U.S., keep pushing it out toward the east, and won't affect you guys, but we'll keep an eye on that. And last word from you, Paula.
Last word from me is a shout-out to the troops serving overseas. Your families love you and miss you, specifically Air Force members. We want you home.
Yes, all right. Good for the Air Force today. All right. Well, thanks, Paula. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. We're going to close out with Lloyd Marcus's version of Our Girls in tribute to the women of the conservative and Tea Party movement and why we rely on them so much, and we really appreciate them. All right, Paula. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
Well, are you still there, Paula? I don't hear the music playing. But in case anybody's listening and it's just me, I'm broadcasting from Brazil, so I can't. This is just the way it is sometimes, and I can't hear things. So hopefully it's still playing. I'll stop talking and let the thing play out.
To the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.